to turn your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. We will continue our studies there. I want to share a couple of things with you. You notice that our text this morning is, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." And I'm going to read the Psalm in a minute, but I would like to just take a moment and ask for your prayers and for your counsel in the area of guidance in my own life, in our own lives. As some of you know, I took a trip to California several months or so ago and had a meeting with the board of directors of the Koinonia Camp and Conference Ground. And they have extended an invitation to me to move to California to be the executive director of Camp Koinonia. Now, I know it's going to be hard to get anything out of the message after that. But I'd like you to just put that in the corners of your mind. It will be months before I make any decision. And I don't mind how you pray, just pray. I know some of you will pray. I know how some of you will pray. And I know how others of you will pray. But we would appreciate your counsel. We'd appreciate your prayers on our behalf. I have, at this point, no desire to move to California. I can tell you that. Especially since it's going to fall off into the ocean before too long. Now, I'm ready to go if it does happen. But I just appreciate your prayers, and I'd be glad to discuss it with any of you in any way you'd like. I have been in touch with the elders and discussing this with them from before my trip to California, so they are fully aware and suggested that, in all fairness to you and to the congregation, that I ask for your prayer and for your guidance in this area. Now, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 23 and reading from verse 1. If you've memorized it during the beginning of our series of studies, you can say it together with me, okay? If you've memorized it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So we pray together. Father, we thank you for this familiar psalm, for its message, which is so important to us in the midst of suffering and sorrow, in the midst of difficulties and problems. We read it in a time of joy and rejoicing. We meditated upon it in the loss of a loved one. We think about it when our own time comes for the end of life, and we thank you for the depth of message that we find in it. And Father, we thank you that you are here this morning to speak to us, to minister to us, and to meet our needs. And we ask, I ask, that you will cause our minds and our hearts to be totally centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that the perhaps distressing consideration we have just talked about will be put in some corner of our mind, that it might not interfere with the voice that you wish to speak to us. We thank you for your guidance, because we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I put over these few words the word refreshment. Our shepherd can see far farther than you and I can see. He can see the end from the beginning. And therefore, it's good for us to be dependent upon his leading. The mind of a shepherd is always hours, if not days, perhaps even weeks ahead of the sheep. In the early morning, the shepherd is planning for the evening. In the evening, he's planning for the next day. And during that day, he's planning maybe weeks ahead of time what he's going to do with his sheep. The sheep only live for the moment. And you and I are just like those sheep. He's planning for the sheep's rest and for their food that evening. He's planning for the water that they need for that day. He's planning for the place they're going to sleep that night and the comfort and the kind of protection that they need from the wild animals that they will encounter along the trip. If he's planning so infinitely for the sheep, don't you suppose he's planning for us as well? Don't you think he can see far farther than you and I can see? Isn't it right that we should trust him? Isn't it right that we should listen for his voice? If you read Time magazine this week, you realize that the cover article is on stress. It's on the turmoil of life that you and I experience, or at least we are in the danger of experiencing. And this cover article goes through and tells us that the suggestion for the solution to stress is meditation. That they have three kinds of medication. Medication that is to help stress, but it's not a permanent relief. They say the only thing that really seems to solve the problem is 20 minutes once or twice a day in meditation. And to remove from your thoughts everything except maybe to dwell on just one thought. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like the quiet time that we should have as Christians. We're desperately faced with a chronic problem of stress. And the world is without any solemn solution to the problem. All through the article, the only thing I could find related to the solution to the problem was the man who had lost three jobs. And they suggested that he should be a chronic case of personal stress. The man said, as I examined him and tested him for chronic stress, he said, I found him to be one of the most well-adjusted men I'd ever met. They asked him what his solution to the problem of stress was. He said, it's two. He said, I have a loving wife and I go to church every Sunday. That's the solution. A family life where there is peace, where there is comfort, encouragement, and regular contact with God. I realized as I read through this article that the average working family spent $750 a year on stress-related symptoms. Now that's more than the average family at CBF gave to the Lord last year. That's tragic. To think that we as a family would spend more on stress than we would spend on the things of God. Is it any wonder so much of the scripture deals with the solution to the problem? That we need to rest and be comforted in the Lord. That we need to go to him in prayer. We need to meditate upon his word. We need to be absorbed with who he is and with what he's done. Is it any wonder that from the beginning of Genesis all the way through to the end, God deals with the need for man to be beside still waters? And so the shepherd hears these words from the sheep. He leadeth me beside the still waters. If 20 minutes once or twice a day in meditation significantly reduces stress, for that reason alone, we ought to have a quiet time alone with God, and he would speak to us. But as the poem in our program this morning, our bulletin this morning suggests, we don't have time. And so we are faced with the stress and the difficulties and the trials day after day, and we don't have a solution. The sheep that has the utmost trust in his shepherd is one who will not be filled with stress. I want to look at two things this morning. I want to look, first of all, at the guarantee of guidance. He leadeth me. That's a guarantee of guidance. And then I want to look at the requirement of refreshment. He leadeth me beside the still waters. As the sheep recounts his very intimate relationship with the shepherd, I can see him going over in his mind the beautiful relationship that he has. Because it's the sheep that speaks in Psalm 23, not the shepherd. It's the sheep who begins by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. He maketh me. He provides. He protects. And he goes all the way through. Let's set the picture for a moment in our mind. We can see ourselves as the only sheep. He is my shepherd, and I'm the only care that he has. There aren't any other sheep because he and I have that most intimate relationship. He couldn't possibly have any others. But of course he does. But we think that we are the only sheep that he has to care for. And early in the morning we hear his voice. He lets us know that we have another delightful day with him. He's awakened us. And he wants us to stand up on our feet and remove the sleep from our eyes and begin another wonderful day through which he is going to lead us. And we realize that this loving shepherd has but one objective all through this day. That is my care. The care of myself. My protection, my provision, fulfilling all my needs so that I can say to him, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. We begin to follow him. We, shall we say, or shall I say I? I begin to follow him as he walks away from the fold. It's before dawn. The sun hasn't even come up. And it's time to get going with the shepherd. We will feed for a little while, and then we will follow. And finally the sun will come up and the sun will become very, very hot and the dust will blow over the barren land. And we will stop, seeking some refreshment and some rest. He has stilled the waters by the little mountain stream that comes there, and we can now approach it carefully and drink. And after we have drunk all we need, we can go to the shade of some mighty rock in this weary land, and we can lie down, and we can enjoy the cool, the comfort of that great rock. And as I lie there in the cool of that great rock, having a stomach full that I can ruminate, meditate on, having my thirst quenched, I begin to think, what a wonderful shepherd I have. And I begin to realize two things in this guarantee of guidance. The first thing I realize is that I am totally dependent upon him. I realize dependence. In my meditation, I remember, without him, I would be nothing. I would not know where to go. I would not know what to eat. I would not know possibly where to drink. I might easily jump into some rushing stream, and the will around me would carry me down to my death. And as I lie there, I meditate, and I realize, in the midst of the burning afternoon heat, he has cared for me, and I couldn't do without him. I remember the verses that say, all we like sheep have gone astray. And I realize that I am one. And I look back through my life, and I realize times that I have gone astray as a sheep, but now, under his loving care, I realize I am utterly dependent upon his guidance. I could not make it without him. Amen. I must acknowledge that he, and he alone, can guide me, and I must follow. Beloved fellow sheep, can you not see the same thing? Can you not see that we are utterly dependent upon him for the provision of our needs? For protection, for care, for water that is still. Take this verse as a guarantee. We all need guidance. I need guidance. That's why I shared that with you this morning. You need guidance. When someone comes to me and speaks to me about some decision that they're making in life, a change in their life, one of the first questions I ask is, what guidance have you gotten from the Lord? Has the Lord given you definite guidance in this particular area? Have you heard his voice? Have you heard him speaking to you and say, this is the way, walking in it? That's what I want. Amen. Because all too often I can go my own way. I cannot depend upon my feelings. If I was to depend upon my feelings for guidance, I would one day go this way and one day I would go that way and my life would be utterly frustrated. And I wouldn't accomplish anything for my shepherd. I can't trust my feelings, can you? A sheep can't. A sheep one day will go this way and the other day will go that way. A sheep will turn around and run this way and jump into the water here. Sheep can't depend upon its feelings and neither can you. You take feelings for guidance. I can tell you, you're headed for a tragedy. Perhaps even shipwreck. My feelings change so often. Today, they're wonderful. Blue Monday, that might be terrible. And I might think I ought to quit my job. And on Tuesday, I wish I had it back. And Wednesday, I think I'll go play golf. And on Thursday, why, what's the sense of living? And Friday, I feel so bad. And my life changes so much. And if guidance is dependent upon my feelings, you're headed for disaster. Not only can I not depend on my feelings, but I also can't depend upon my family. If the mother sheep goes left, what do you suppose baby sheep's going to do? Baby sheep's going to go left too. The shepherd proved this particular thing by putting up a small fence and began to have the sheep jump the fence. And after about the fourth sheep, he took the fence down. And the sheep still came and jumped. There was nothing to jump, but they still kept jumping simply because they follow each other and they have that kind of mentality. And you and I do too as well. We can follow somebody else no matter where they're going. Like the woman who was fixing her turkey for Thanksgiving. And there was some specific thing that she did in fixing that turkey. And someone asked why she did it. She said, well, Mother always did it. The story went back several generations where her mother fixed turkey that way. But now with a gas oven, it wasn't necessary. Or an electric oven, it wasn't necessary to do that. We are creatures of habit. Now, I'm not suggesting that you little children reject the guidance of your parents when you are young. But I am suggesting that very often we can be guided by our family in a way that is contrary to the Word of God. We need to renounce our family on occasion and serve Jesus Christ. There is another thing we can't trust, and that is our fellows. If we can't trust our feelings and we can't trust our family, we can't trust our fellows either. You know, there are sheep around us who would very well like to give us guidance. There are people who come to me regularly looking for guidance. I can't tell them which way to go. I can tell them perhaps what the Scripture says. I can perhaps interpret some of the things that they have read out of the Scriptures. I can perhaps be a source of encouragement in this area. There are times that I've told them this is not God's will for your life because it's contrary to the Word of God. But my responsibility as sort of an under-shepherd is to seek to help them listen for the voice of the true shepherd, so that they can hear his voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Ultimately, he will lead and he will guide. And you and I need this kind of guidance. How I wish I could help each person who is a follower of Jesus Christ to realize that this is a guarantee of guidance. He leadeth me. We sing to him, he leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Do we believe it? He's promised us this guidance. So often he leads and we don't follow. I can think, and perhaps you can think, of many times when God has given to us simple guidance in his word. I don't have to flip a coin. I don't have to cast lots. There is clear indication of God's guidance in my life. He guides me to his word to study and to read. He guides me to my knees in prayer. He guides me to the fellowship of God's people. He guides me in my witness. He guides me in my worship. He guides me in the walk that I have as a believer. I don't need special guidance for that. If I'm obedient in those areas, I can expect that he's going to guide me further. But if I act rebelliously and reject this kind of guidance, I can't expect God to open his word to me. Do you need guidance for a job, for your business, perhaps for some purchase, school, some relationships that you are developing? Things in the home, things in the family. If you're looking for guidance, I can tell you, God has guaranteed that he will make known unto us the mystery of his will. Ephesians chapter 1. Do we need to ask for guidance? Can you hear the sheep going up to the shepherd? And say to the shepherd, Shepherd, I wish you would guide me. I wish you'd tell me where to go and what to do. I can hear the shepherd saying, My dear sheep, if you'll just be quiet and follow me, that is guidance. God will guide us. He has guaranteed guidance if we're willing to follow him. Not only do we find in the midst of this meditation that there is an attitude of dependence, but I also learn that there is dignity. Imagine he guiding me. Poor little sheep that I am. Unfaithful little sheep that I am. So thoughtless, so fearful, so afraid so often, he leadeth me. Oh, we can understand if he leads the great preachers of God's word.
But me?
We can understand if he leads Billy Graham and some of the great ones who travel our country.
But me?
The heads of government he certainly will lead.
But me? He leadeth me. And to think that he loves me so much. He's willing to lead me. Willing to guide me.
Willing to protect me. This is by attraction, not by compulsion. He doesn't force me with his harm. He doesn't beat me with his rod so that I will follow. It says he leadeth me. And as an eastern shepherd, he puts his own sheep ahead of him and he goes forth, as John chapter 10 tells us. To know the loving relationship that the shepherd has with the sheep and the sheep has with the shepherd is to realize that he loved me and he died for me. And if he died for me, certainly he will lead me on a day-by-day basis. Secondly, there is a need for a requirement of refreshment. It says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And perhaps a better translation is the waters of rest. And I couldn't help but think by seeing the picture on front of Time magazine that this is exactly what the Lord wants to give us. In the midst of the stress and turmoil, the busyness and hurry of our life, he wants to lead us beside waters that are stilled. In the life of the sheep, where is he going to find this water? And I must realize that not all still water is pure. There is still water that is impure. And so the still water must also be pure and clear and cool so that it will meet the sheep's need. Philip Keller tells us that as a shepherd, there are three places from which the sheep can get this still water. And he also tells us that 70% of the sheep's body is made up of water. And if they don't get sufficient water on a regular basis, they will become weak and sick, and they very often will be disoriented. There are three places from which the sheep gets this still water. The first is from the morning dew. In the hot and arid country that would be the land of Israel, you will find very, very few streams. And it's extremely important that the shepherd provide the kind of climate, the kind of atmosphere in which the sheep will get the morning dew. Now, dew only falls when it's clear. On a cloudy night, you will not have any dew, only when it's clear. Can you see the picture? One of the most important sources of this still water for the sheep is early in the morning before the sun arises. The lush green carpet of grass with its thousands of leaves, every one of them bent down with a heavy drop of dew. And the sheep, early in the morning, called by the shepherd's voice, will awaken before dawn and will begin to eat this lush, wet, green grass. Perhaps by the light of the moon, on that clear night, the sheep will awaken. And as he begins to walk it, his feet will get wet with the tremendous dew that is available in that country. This is mine only if I hear his voice. If I'm a lazy sheep and decide to stay in bed, I'll miss the dew. Because the morning sun will come up, and the morning sun in a few minutes, and perhaps even less than that, the dew will be gone. Now, it doesn't take a theological education to see the application of this, does it? If you and I are going to be led by still waters, I must respond to the shepherd's voice early in the morning. Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. Do you know that sheep can live for days just on the dew that comes in the grass? If they have that, if early in the morning the shepherd gets his sheep up and they begin to feast on this grass and the lovely pure dew, the purest water that is available for sheep is there. But you have to rise early. You have to hear his voice. And if you're lazy, And if we stay in bed and we don't hear his voice early in the morning, halfway through the day, we're thirsty. But there's no water because we're in a barren land. We sing the song, without a cloud between, my soul and my Savior. You know, when there's no cloud, the dew will fall. And if there's no cloud between you and God, he will bestow his wonderful dew upon you every day. It suggests to me the quiet time. The morning dew is for you. If you'll arise and hear his voice, it's there because he speaks. How few have the morning dew. The second source is the mountain stream. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 23 describes for us the Lord's wonderful provision for his sheep. There are very few mountain streams in Israel. You can go for perhaps days without ever crossing a mountain stream, particularly out in the Negev or the desert, the dry area. And so it's necessary for the shepherd to plan his course so that if he brings his sheep to the desert, someplace down the line, he'll find a little rivulet. He'll take that stream, he'll carefully guide a portion of it over into a little hollow, and there, the sheep may partake. If it's not possible, he himself will take his hand, hold it as a rushing water, and then bring it over, one sheep after the other. And for hours, perhaps, he will be feeding his sheep from that rushing stream. Sheep will not drink from rushing stream, and so it's got to be still. And the shepherd's hand very carefully dams up the water here and here, and lifts it overrun, and there, very carefully, very softly, the water will stand. But the sheep have to realize that the shepherd has that in mind. And that the shepherd knows very well that down the road there is a place where eventually they'll be able to just drink to their heart's content. If the sheep don't know that, you know what the sheep will do? As they walk along, they'll find little potholes, and they'll be filled, perhaps half full, with water. And the sheep will begin to stop and drink there because they're so thirsty. But that water is polluted. That water is the water the sheep have walked through. They've urinated in. Water that's of no value. It's filled with nematodes and disease. And they will die. You know, the little potholes remind me of the filth of this world, where so many people seek satisfaction for thirst. If we've missed the morning dew, by midday we'll have to be drinking at the potholes. And Christians are doing it continually. The mountain stream is mine. Only because I follow him. He leads me beside the still waters. And I see his visage. I follow him where he's going. And I see that he's got a plan for me at the end of the day, at the end of the week, somewhere along the line. He's going to bring me to a place where there's a stream. And I will have all the water I can possibly drink. The mountain morning dew reminds me of my quiet time. The mountain stream reminds me of my time with God's people once a week. Reminds me of the shepherd who tries to provide for his sheep to satisfy their thirst in a dry and weary land. But I must keep my eyes on the shepherd if I'm to partake of the wonderful stream that has been stilled by his loving hand. He will do it in the day to come. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, I will give him the thirst of the fountain of life freely. And again in Revelation 22:1, the water of life, clear as crystal, coming out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, it will provide my needs. God's gathering of his people in a situation such like this can be the mountain stream to which you can go on a regular basis to hear God's word and to be fed by him. The third source of still water is a mammoth cistern. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, God accuses Israel of carving out stone cisterns that leak. And if you go to Israel and you travel in the desert part of the land, you'll find it in this barren land that the Israelites have chiseled out and carved out of the solid rock a big cistern. It's like a big room, and it's down below the surface of the earth. And it has a ramp carved out of the rock. And the shepherd will put his sheep right by the mouth of this particular cistern. Then he himself will go down. He will strip himself to the waist, and he will take a goatskin bucket, and he will begin to dip out of the cistern into a little trough carved out of the stone. And then he will call his sheep. And they will come down this incline into this great cistern, and they'll be able to drink. That water is mine because of his vitality.
My shepherd gives himself, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. He is there pouring it out.
And the shepherd, after having fed all of his sheep, will be exhausted in order that he might provide the still water in the midst of that cistern. Can you not see how the loving shepherd provides, knowing the needs of his sheep? The little sheep who stops at the pothole, gets a little rap on the head, says, "Don't drink that. It's foul. It's unclean. I'll provide for you. At the end of the day, we will come to a stream, and there you'll be able to drink all you need. Don't stop at the potholes of the world. Early in the morning, you'll find the dew. The morning dew, which will satisfy you for that day. It will give you something to go on. And then the Lord will bring you to the mountain stream. And from there, he'll bring you to the mammoth well. The dew, the stream, and the cistern. Three sources of still water made available by the loving shepherd for his sheep. One, the result of his voice. The second, the result of his visage, I must follow him. And the third, a result of his vitality. One is mine because I hear his word. One is mine because I follow his walk. And the third is mine because I enjoy his work. Can you not see? He leadeth me beside the still water. It's mine. It's yours. If we will follow him. So we pray together. Father, we thank you again this morning for David. We thank you that he so clearly could lay down for us the instruction and guidance from which we can glean so much. We realize afresh that the well of your word is without bottom. We dip time and time and time again. It satisfies. And yet we realize that so many times we have turned to the world around us. We have sought some solution from stress and strain, from the hustle and bustle of life. We've turned to the world. We hear them say out of their own mouths the need for 20 minutes of meditation, 20 minutes of occupation with something, someone that is higher than we are. Father, help us to realize the need for following the shepherd and participating and enjoying the provision that he makes. We offer you our thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd of our souls. Amen.